deploying NuGet packages to NuGet manually can be a bit of a pain. Luckily, there are some tools that can help automate that for us. Let's mash on that.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. In today's episode, we're going to extend our previous experiences with AppFair and take a look at how we could automate deploying NuGet packages.
So just to recap, and we'll have the links to those shows down below here, but we did a couple episodes already. We did one where we did kind of like a continuous integration type build with AppFair, where any commit to the repo, any pull requests that are pushed in would trigger a build, and it would run the unit tests and make sure that everything was at least compiling and the tests were passing. Then the next level that we did was that anything we pushed to the master branch, so anything directly committed to master, or anything, any branches that were merged to master, pull requests that are merged to master, would trigger a deployment build that would then push the website up to this tag helper samples website up in Azure. So we got that all working. There's our sample app that gets updated every time. And the last piece that we kind of had missing was that this sample project of mine, the tag helper samples project, has a couple different NuGet packages there. And I always end up opening these issues that say, remember to, maybe I close those. Oh yeah, create new NuGet release for the new version, because I always forget to do it, and then it's like the version that's up in NuGet is way behind what I actually have in up in GitHub here. So the last step was to create something that at least partially or completely automated that process for us.
I noticed that bug was opened in April.
Yeah, I noticed so. A few things were
well on top of things.
A year old that I was working on today, so. It's funny how quickly a year can go by. So I was digging into this today, and what I decided to do is to try to set this up in a similar way to how we did the web deployment. So with the web deployment, what I did is I defined an environment that was my tag helper samples productions. That was like the production website that we were going to push to, and decided I'd try setting up another environment here that was my bootstrap tag helper samples.bootstrap NuGet package. So if we go over to NuGet just to show where that is.
Oh, are we going to do this live?
Oh, maybe. We could do
like, is this version going to change?
We could do that, yeah.
Ooh,
sure.
Okay, I'm excited for this.
But sure, let's do that.
Well, I mean, don't let me put you in a position to have demos fail, but
yes, it would be the first time we've had a demo fail on the show, Simon. That has literally never happened before.
Today.
So here it is up in NuGet. You can install it there in your .NET Core application. And what I did is just created I did new environment here, and I selected NuGet. And then all you have to do is fill out these details. So this is actually pretty straightforward. You have your environment name, that's just something you're going to call it. The NuGet server URL, which was this guy here. Your API key, which you actually get from NuGet. So that's you log into NuGet and go to your account and you create a new key. That key gives whoever has the key access to publish either completely new packages to your account or just update existing packages, and you can control which packages it actually has access to. So there's a bit of flexibility there. And then you pick how long the API key is valid for. So the default is 365 days. After that, it would expire. So you kind of have to remember to go and regenerate a new key and come and update your app or build after a year. And then symbol servers, which I'm not doing in this case, it's an optional thing. And the artifact, you can let AppFair kind of figure that out on its own. Or in my case, I have my build is kind of all jumbled together. It builds a website and it builds a bunch of different NuGet packages. So in this case, I need to tell it specifically where the NuGet package is. So that's just, I thought it was a path to the NuGet package with just like a wildcard in it. That doesn't work. For some reason, here we actually had to use a regular expression to to find it, which is a little goofy because everywhere else in AppVir it uses just kind of like glob patterns for file paths. But I define that environment, and if we look at it here, this is my, when I go to my settings. So there's my API key, which you won't be able to see. And then there's the path to my artifacts. So the idea then is that when a build completes, we'll have the option to then create a new deployment using the artifacts from that build. So one of the artifacts from that build will be a file that is tag helper samples.bootstrap. The version number dot nupkeg, which I think is the official way of saying that, right?
There might be some debate on that.
Some minor debate, yes.
Yeah.
So that's defining the environment. And then the only other thing I had to do is the build that happens on master, that kind of builds all these artifacts. I did make some changes there. Now that one's actually defined over in GitHub in my appvir-deploy.yml file. And all I did was created these two new ones. So I don't have my project files set to create NuGet packages automatically. That would have been one way to do this, is just change the settings in the CS proj. But I just wanted to kind of show the command line way to do that is just .NET pack and then the path to my project. So .NET pack. And that project will create the NuGet package for taghelpersamples.bootstrap.
Okay.
And then down at the bottom, so before all I had was this piece here that was defining, that's a little small, isn't it? But defining the artifacts for the web deployment. So that's the sample website that kind of shows how everything works. But then I also said just any NuGet packages that happen to exist in the overall folder, we're going to include those as NuGet packages in my artifacts.
Right, and you don't have to worry about accidentally picking up other NuGet packages. It might be dependencies, because they don't exist in that build folder, right?
No, they shouldn't exist in the build folder, so it doesn't pick those up.
Okay, great.
And if your app only had a single, if it was just a single project that created one NuGet package, this would be even a little bit easier because you wouldn't even really need to specify that. You could just use kind of the default settings and just tell it, you know, tell AppVir the output of this is a NuGet package and it will kind of know what to do.
Okay.
So I had a few extra manual steps to do here, but kind of shows what happens under the covers. And if we look at let's see here, if we go back to one of my deployments, or sorry, one of my builds. So this was the latest build of Tag Helper Samples Deploy. That's the build that happens on the master branch. And you can see that there are three artifacts here. There's my two NuGet packages, the one for Bootstrap, the one for Markdown, and then we have the zip file that is the website. So that's what gets published up to Azure.
Okay.
So from that then, so I didn't fully automate this. I don't have that deployment automatically triggered. If you look back at jumping back to this build, you can see that here we're automatically, we have a deployment set up that it's going to push to the tag helper samples production environment that we had defined. So that's the one that's doing the web deploy automatically as part of this. Now I could have said also push to NuGet automatically as anytime there's a commit to master, but typically that's not what you want to do. You only want your actual like production releases going up to NuGet. This is more, although I called it production here, it's more like a nightly build. So what a person might do is push nightly builds up to MyGet. That's kind of a common pattern that you see, is that nightly builds of packages, NuGet packages, get pushed up to MyGet. And if people want to kind of test the nightly builds, they can do it that way. But your actual releases, the official release versions, are less frequent, and those are the ones that you push out to NuGet, to like the official NuGet gallery. So what I did instead is I thought, well, at least it's partially automated now, so what I can do is come in here and from a particular deployment, or from a particular build, I can hit this deploy button. So there's kind of two ways I can do this. I can go deploy, and then I can tell it deploy to that Bootstrap NuGet environment that I defined. And when I click the deploy button, it'll go and grab that artifact and push it up to NuGet. And then it should update. The other option is that I go to environments and I select my Bootstrap NuGet environment here. And I go new deployment. And I pick which project I'm deploying from. So that's the build over there. And then I can actually pick which one I want to push up to NuGet. So these are all my past builds that succeeded. So I can just pick one of those and hit deploy, and then it will trigger a deployment and give me the results. So I can't go and deploy this right now because the version number actually hasn't changed. So if I try to redeploy the same version to NuGet, it just tells me this version is already there. You can't do that.
And you're revving version numbers based on Apfea?
I'm not. So that's something I was going to talk to you about. But what we'll do for now, just to give this a little test here, is we'll come and we're going to update this to 1.1.3 just to show kind of the process.
Okay.
So this isn't ideal. I'm revving my numbers manually here.
Well, I mean, it depends on how you're deploying it. I don't think it's unreasonable to rev like this. Like, if you're not deploying continuously,
yeah,
then doing it like this is probably okay. I'm interested that you changed it in like three places and it only updated one thing.
Oh, is that what happened? It should have updated two things. I mean, I've done a save all. Watch, I bet something else changes.
Interesting. Well, I don't know.
That is interesting. So the assembly info should have changed as well, but really the one in the CS proj here, I think, is the one that NuGet uses. So
right.
That should be fine. And did I sync that? I think I did. So we push that change up to GitHub, which should trigger our deployment build anytime now. If we go back to here, there we have a couple of builds queued up.
Oh, perfect.
We have our CI build that's happening now. And Appvayer already has a concept of version numbers,
right.
And there is a way to push that over to your pack, to both your packages and your assemblies and everything. So that's something that I should be doing. Just haven't kind of taken that next step yet.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me to, you know, have Appvayer, if it can do it for you, to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, like, right now, it looks like things are kind of weirdly out of sync, right? Like, you've got 1.1.16 here, and
yeah, now
it's revved to 1.1.3 on yours.
How long is this build going to take? A little while, apparently.
Mere seconds.
Indeed. I was kind of digging through the docs on the... So one of the environment variables that Appvayer defines is your build numbers and build versions.
Okay. Stuff.
So you have access to that anywhere in your build scripts that you define with Appvayer. You can reference those version numbers. And there's also a way of somewhere in here pushing those down into your .NET assembly, so you can actually change the assembly version number and then also your NuGet package numbers. Which I think that does make sense, right? But then I was kind of thinking about that. And so let's say then that works for the build number.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if we can have it only incrementing the build number, that's probably okay. And then we manually choose when we want to increment those other numbers, the major and minor version numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, like I've worked at companies before where we have those kind of four segment build numbers. So one more segment even than you have there, at
right.
least for the deployment. And typically, like, the first two digits have been owned by, like, maybe the marketing department.
Right.
And the reason that it's like that is because we might be contractually obligated that we're going to provide support for the last two major versions. So if that stuff was owned by development, like, we'd rev that number all the damn time because fall out of support quickly. We wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. But there's marketing implications and stuff for that.
Yeah. Now, in terms of NuGet, I think they might be enforcing SemVer now, which would mean you only have the three version numbers, really. major, minor, and build numbers, right?
Right, okay.
So you don't get that fourth number, but then you can have
Right.
like a dash beta or a dash release candidate, something like that.
Yeah, there is some logic inside of NuGet that it understands kind of those sorts of version numbers. If you append dash beta, it knows that that's a pre-release package.
Right.
So when you go to try and install it from the command line, you have to do like that dash pre-release in order to get it to actually do it.
Okay, so this build completed, and we should see now that there's my version 1.1.3 NuGet
Cool.
package. We'll just go back here to again show that it's only 1.1.2. And we'll come in here and do a deployment. We'll deploy it to the Bootstrap NuGet environment that we defined. And this part should be really, really fast. It's just taking that NupKeg file, which is really small, pushing it up to NuGet, and there it is done. Come here and
Awesome.
refresh. There's 1.1.3.
Yeah, look at
And we
that.
get the handy warning saying it hasn't been indexed yet, but it'll show up eventually in the search results.
Yeah, that's funny.
It kind of is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what world we live in now that you couldn't dynamically insert something into an index, but I don't work in the NuGet team, so I don't want to make too many claims.
Must run on a schedule instead of on a trigger.
Yeah, well, that's probably a big deal, but
Yep.
it's because there's a lot of NuGet packages now,
Mm-hmm.
and I don't know what the indexing does. I'm sure it's more than just like looking at the package name. I'm sure it does some deeper exploration.
I would hope so. Well, there's
Yeah.
probably all the dependencies and stuff too that it's analyzing. So that's
Yeah.
kind of just the easiest thing I could get away with to sort of automate my deployments to NuGet. So I only have to go and click a button now when I want to go and
Why?
do a NuGet release.
Yeah.
I have to rev my numbers and then push a button, which is a lot easier than what I had before, which was build my packages locally on my machine and generate the NuGet files and or do the .NET pack and then go and manually upload through the NuGet website. Which is a little
It's always
clunky.
a bit of a confidence boost to know too that there's like an automated way of doing it behind
Yeah.
the scenes and
So taking
yeah.
this like to the next level, there would be probably pushing out a nightly build to another NuGet feed like MyGet, and then setting up. So there's a way to do to tie your automated deployment to NuGet based on a tag, I believe, in
Interesting.
GitHub. So then when you create a new release, which I believe is just a tag
Yeah.
in GitHub. So when you define a new release in GitHub, then that would trigger the deployment over to NuGet. So then it would be like fully automated with you would ju your process would just be you define a release in GitHub and then everything happens automatically after that.
Yeah. Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, I was thinking that depending on your branching strategy, like if your master was always golden, then you could ship any time that master was incremented and just do your development in either a develop branch or feature branches or something. But yeah, that's a good approach too. I like that.
So that's kind of what I discovered today in digging into this, and again, pretty happy with how AppVeyor laid it out. The main thing that I actually the only thing that really got me stuck and why this took me more than 5 minutes, it took me maybe an hour instead, was because in here I kept putting that
Yeah, the globs.
I was just using a glob pattern like I had done in the build definition. And for some reason, that just wasn't working. And that's not super clear in the documentation why that is or that it's different. But there you go. If you're
Awesome.
looking at it and it's not working, that's why.
Cool. Great. Well, thanks a lot for sharing your adventures on this.
You're
I'm
welcome.
gonna go and set some projects up to do that right now.
Excellent. I'm gonna go change my API keys.
Okay. Absolutely, don't try it, criminals.
That's right.
Watching you. All right, well, thanks everybody for joining us on an episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. Remember to like, comment, and share. And if you put a comment on and we read it on the air, or a question on and we read it on the air, and probably answer it, we're happy to hand you over one of these snazzy ASP.NET Monsters stickers. Limited edition, guaranteed to increase the speed of your laptop. If you, I guess, put it on a laptop.
I'm not sure what happens when you put it on desktop, actually. Give it a try, let us know.
Yeah, I was thinking about, like, what happens if you put it on a mouse? Not like a computer mouse, but an actual mouse.
An actual mouse.
Yeah, it just gets faster and faster.
Super mice.
Oh, you know what you should do? You should take the sticker and you should put it on a photon and see what happens. Sorry, Einstein. Faster than light. All right, thanks everybody, and we'll see you next episode.
Bye.